In our country, with the rise of what has been known as feminism, with that came a demotion of fatherhood. In an attempt to prove the worth of women, many felt the need to prove that men were worthless. It's oftentimes people go to extremes in order to prove their particular point. One can't be without the other, so somehow or another, it can't be two at once. Can't be both equal. And so people try to go to extremes. And we see the impact in society. If you don't understand, just look at TV shows. Look at how many shows there are where there is a well-meaning but bungling dad whom mom and the kids have to steer away from danger. How many women are not bothered or not bothering to get married, though they have children anyway? It's the idea that we can do without dads, do without fathers. You know, the Bible, unlike today's society, sees men and women as being equal, equally essential, while at the same time fulfilling different roles. Take a look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In God's society, in the church, in the view of God, everyone is equal. There is no difference, not the difference that society tries to make. And what we're going to focus on tonight, though, is one of the roles that God assigns to fathers. And that is providing instruction to his children, training them for work for the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, husbands and fathers are supposed to be the source of wisdom in a family. And that's quite a tall order if you think about it. So what is wisdom? Well, we understand all Christians need wisdom. In Ephesians 5, and starting with verse 15, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We have only a little time, and we live in a dangerous world. We need the wisdom that comes from God to make the best use of our time while we're here on earth. That wisdom is found in the will of the Lord. We need to make use of it. The Bible was given to us to equip us. Take a look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. God gave us the rule book. God gave us the instructions on how to be wise. In fact, in Psalms 19, and in verse 7, Psalms 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It is in God's word that we learn wisdom. And even the simplest of us, the ones less knowledgeable, can become wise by learning from God. And that wisdom, as we said, comes from God along with knowledge and understanding. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting with verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity. Guarding the paths of justice, he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. When we learn God's wisdom, then we learn everything we need to know. There's an illustration of what wisdom is, and knowledge and understanding, is in Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, starting with verse 3. By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Knowledge is then the comprehension of facts. It fills our minds with pleasant and useful things. But they're just things. Understanding is the reasoning of relationships. It's the logic that becomes the foundation on which we stand. It's the foundation of the house. It's how we put things together. How they work. Understanding how things work. Wisdom is then the application. It's the house itself. It's the application of all our learning. It's how we put it all together as a whole. Knowing when we ought to apply it to our lives. Homer Haley once said that wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply the best end, the knowledge which he has. We take the knowledge that we have, understanding how it works, and then wisdom is how do you put it together? How do you apply it to accomplish what needs to be done? In other words, knowledge tells you what is happening. Understanding allows you to predict what might result and what are your options. But it's wisdom that guides the selection of the best course, the best response. So where do we get wisdom? Now, most often people gain some measure of wisdom through experience. They try one thing or another. Some of it works, some of it fails. Most of it fails. And we make note of it. And we try again the next time, hopefully with better results. Of course, all that's time consuming. But we do gain some wisdom. In fact, that's why we associate wisdom with older people. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the honor of old men is their gray hair. But you know, learning by experience, gaining wisdom by experience, is kind of hit and miss. We don't experience everything as we live. And so oftentimes we end up finding ourselves caught off guard because we're facing something brand new. Something that we haven't tried before or seen before. And now we're supposed to make a good choice. And of course, there's also the problem that not everyone survives their mistakes. Sometimes you make some really dumb choices. There has to be a better way to learn wisdom. And there is. See, you can learn wisdom also from wise men. Instead of making all the mistakes yourself, learn from somebody else who's already made them. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Instead of personally making mistakes, you learn from others. And thus you avoid wasting years of repeating what other people already know. That's one of the difficult things sometimes with young people. is getting through their heads that you don't know everything. And sometimes it's worth asking somebody older just so that you don't have to experience some of the things that they experience. You know, it's best to listen so you can be wise when you do get older. In Proverbs 19 and in verse 20, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. That's what parents are for, to teach us which way to go. We're benefiting from their wisdom. By avoiding mistakes, you don't have to carry the consequences with you through the rest of your life. And here then is the responsibility of a father to pass down his accumulated wisdom to his children so they don't have to repeat his mistakes. But you know, the best place to find wisdom is from God. In James chapter 1, and in verse 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We can ask God. God is our Father. He has the experience that none of us will ever have. And if we ask, he'll give us what we need to be wise. See, there's an example of this in the Old Testament. Solomon became king when he was relatively young. And in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish to get me to give you. Then Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he had walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go, come out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. And that's what Solomon received. Solomon asked God for understanding. God gave him understanding and wisdom beyond what anybody else had had before or after. And in 1 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 29, it says, now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Dura, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from cedar that was in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and of birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. Solomon didn't get that wise because of all the experience he had. He didn't get that wise even from his own father. He got that wise because God granted him that wisdom. We can benefit from God and learn true wisdom, accurate wisdom. In fact, the book of Proverbs is the writings of Solomon passed on to succeeding generations like you and I. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the saying of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. Not only that, does it give us wisdom, it's also able to give us prudence, the ability to think ahead, to look down the road and say, this is the way we ought to go. Take a look at verse 4. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. Now, children and some adults are uncomplicated in their thoughts. They act on impulse with very little consideration. Young kids are particularly noted for their rash decisions that oftentimes have unintended consequences because they didn't stop to think about the consequences. See, prudence is the opposite of rashness. Wisdom gives prudence, the ability to think ahead, to see what's down the road. It also gives knowledge and discretion to the young. Now, even without a long life, the book of Proverbs can supply hosts of facts. And it gives plans or choices for what to do in various situations. Sometimes people read Proverbs and say, why are there so many repetitions? Because they're not really repeating. There's subtle variations on themes. Because in some situations, they're not quite the same as the others. And even if a man is already wise, this book can benefit a person by increasing what he knows. Take a look at verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. None of us know everything or experience everything. We don't want to. But even a wise man benefits from learning better choices. A man of understanding, a smart man who can put two and two together, can also benefit from the wise advice that's stored in the book, from understanding subtle statements, puzzles about life. Proverbs is a divinely inspired writing of God given through the hands of the wisest man on earth, expressed in short sentences about what life is about. You know, you can offer people wisdom, but it's not always accepted. In verse 7 of the same chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools don't like wisdom because they refuse to see the value in it. They're fools because they choose to remain ignorant. They're fools because they condemn themselves to making a lot of mistakes. See, children have an opportunity to learn wisdom from their parents. Going on in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. They make you a better person. Passed down from one generation to another, supplemented by knowing what God said and adding to it your own personal experiences, children can benefit greatly from their father's teachings and their mother's teachings. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth, but do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of the evil men. Do not avoid it. Do not pass by. Turn away and pass on. We have been given wisdom so that we do not fall into the ways of evil. But one generation passes down. David taught Solomon. Solomon has God's wisdom. He teaches us so that we might teach our children. Passing it on from generation to generation. Wisdom is our protection. In chapter 6, starting with verse 20. My son, observe the commandments of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Are we listening to our fathers? Are we listening to the Father? Oops. Have you learned the lessons of life that your fathers taught you? If you're a father, are you prepared to pass them down to your children? But you know, each of our fathers did the best that they could. We have to realize we're all human. We make mistakes. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 9, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? We don't want to repeat the mistakes. But we have a heavenly Father who's passed down his wisdom to us as well as our earthly fathers. We learn from him and then pass down that wisdom to our children. See, that's the duty of a father. Fathers aren't useless. They have value. They have a role. They have something to play, something to do. They're necessary for the upbringing of children. Hope you'll think about these things this evening. If there's anyone here tonight who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those of you who are children of God, we'd like the prayers of brethren on your behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the Selected.